got a thought on my heart this morning, and I kindly doubt I'll get finished this morning anymore. It seems like I don't get finished with much of anything, but I want to begin at least this morning on this thought the Lord has put in my heart. How many of you love reading about the early church? And what we're not made aware of, the news media doesn't want us to be aware of it. But there's a lot of churches in the world today being persecuted, just like the early church was. I often wonder in America, if persecution were to come, how many would be left in church on Sunday morning? I'm not being critical. I just wonder about those things. I wonder if our grandchildren and our children had to watch us suffer for Jesus' sake, would that drive them to the Lord, or would that drive them from the Lord? I believe it's important. The Bible said in Acts chapter 4, "And as they spake unto the people..." Now, you remember in Acts chapter 3, just a little bit of groundwork, that there's a lame man. He's begging. That's all he knew how to do. And when he comes across, or Peter and John come across him, the Bible said that they said, "Silver and gold." Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." There was a great miracle done, and the Bible said that he was leaping. You know, listen, I'm not being critical this morning, but at least in our hearts, if we've been saved, we ought to be leaping. Say amen. There ought to be joy unspeakable and full of glory if God has saved us by his grace, wrote our name in that precious book. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. And notice these first two words in verse 2, being grieved, that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Can you understand that this is that mystery that was concealed in the Old Testament that's being revealed now in the New Testament church? Can you understand how excited these people were to find out that the grave is not the end? Amen. That there would, because he lives, because he got up, they're going to get up too. I'll tell you, the Bible said here in verse 3, "And they laid hands on them." Now, this wasn't talking about that praying kind. Say amen. They laid hands on them, and they put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. I like, you know, the Bible's the Bible, but this is kindly a mild way of saying they locked them up. And the Bible said in verse 4, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed." You know what that tells me? They're too late. They's out there preaching about the resurrection from the dead, and they locked them up and wanted to shut them up, but they're too late. They done a bunch of them got on board and believed that message. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men..." I think the reason that's worded that way is because there was more women and children. "But the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem." I could just hear that powwow. "Boys, we've got a problem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" This is referring back there to that miracle. "Then Peter," I love these words right here, "filled with the Holy Ghost." You don't pray for your preacher? Pray God fill him with the Holy Ghost. Y'all pray for your deacons. Say amen, deacons. Pray God fill them with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, we're living in a generation where most churches overlook the number one qualification for a preacher or a deacon. That's that they be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost, he said unto them, "You rulers of the people, the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," now he had to throw this in there, "whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." You know, I don't ever want to be guilty of something called sensationalism. How many knows what that is, even? I don't want to be guilty of that mess. But I do want us to stop right there just a minute and tell you, by this man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I stand before you whole, saved by the grace of God, on my way to heaven. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm a child of the King. My one name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, I'll tell you this morning. You say, "Preacher, well, you weren't lame." No, I was a step below that. I was dead in trespasses and in sin. And he raised me up. And he gave me life. If you've been saved by the grace of God, he's done the same thing for you. The Bible said, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." I was just thinking as I was preparing to preach, I'll say something about this a little bit later on, but as I was reading this, there was one particular stone that was very important in the building process, the cornerstone. Brother Wayne, who in their right mind would take that stone that they know was cut out? Daniel said, "out of the mountain, not made with hands." Hallelujah. Who in their right mind would take that stone that was designed for the corner and set it aside? Nobody in their right mind would. But can I tell you, that's what all the religions of the world without Christ are about. They've set the cornerstone over there and trying to put them another stone in the corner. And it'll never work. He said, "You set it at naught." It was set at naught of you builders. Set at naught. "And what which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other." Y'all know that if you believe verse 12... that you're liable to get labeled narrow-minded. You're liable to get labeled a fanatic. And somebody might call you a nut. But I tell you what, I don't mind being called a nut if I'm screwed on the right bolt. Say amen. The Bible said here, "neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If you have not committed that verse to memory, you should. Verse 13, "now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," I love this verse, "and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." The Bible said, "and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They weren't scholars like the scholars of that day. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul would tell you, not many wise are called. I tell you, God's using those that depend on Him. Amen. And here they looked at Peter and John, and I'd say the look at, they were a little bit of a rough character. And God had saved them, and God was using them. And they perceived that they were in. They just don't have the schooling that we've got. Amen. They're just not up to snuff with the scribes and the Pharisees. But I tell you what God's going to do. He's going to use them in a mighty, mighty way. You say, why, preacher? Because they had been with Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I'm trying to get to the message. Have you been with Jesus this week? When you go in on Monday morning where you work, do people know that you've been with Jesus? When you go down to the restaurant after church, amen, do people know that you've been? How many believes they should know that we've been with Jesus? And I believe that that song, Revive Us Again, I believe a lot of that will be birthed out of being with Jesus, not only at church, but at the house and everywhere else we go. We've been with Jesus. Now watch this. The Bible said, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to live a life that they could say nothing against. But when they had commanded them, you know, Jesus did that. You say, well, preacher, they said something against him. How many knows they had to make it up? They had to falsely accuse him. Say amen. They had to lie on him. The Bible said here, but when they were commanded them, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Can I ask you a question? I read that this morning. How many believes that's going on in our government today? They just conferred among themselves. What do we do now? What do we do now? What was it a little while back? Listen, God's going to speak to our hearts today. If you hang around this church today, God's going to speak to our hearts. Just a week or so back, the FCC, they were trying to pry their way into the newsroom. How many knows? How many read or looked at it a little bit? And they want to have a little bit of control about. They're conferring among themselves. You say, well, preacher, how come they backed off? I'll tell you how come they backed off. Because the people stood up. And I pray to God today that God will give us something in this message today that will cause us to want to stand up and not be a pushover, not be run over in this generation that we live in. Now watch this now. The Bible said they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. Of course, see, they don't understand. They think Peter did it. Peter just told them, it wasn't me, it was my Jesus. It wasn't Peter that did it. It was the Lord. Now watch this. Now that wouldn't have fit in today's generation, would it? There'd been some man wanting to stand up and take credit for what God was doing. But Peter wouldn't do that. Watch this now. What shall we do to these men? Indeed, a notable miracle hath been done by them. It's manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Now watch this. Here's going to be my text today. The title of the message. But that it spread no further. This is what you call damage control. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, Brother Tim, have gotten together, conferred among themselves. They say, now we've got to stop this fire. It's going to get plumb out of hand. Amen. And so we got to make some steps to see to it that it spreads no further. I'm telling you what, if that didn't do something in your heart, just the thought of what's going on in this country that we live in, they don't want this gospel spread, amen? They don't want this good news preached. They don't want somebody to preach the whole counsel of God. They don't want it to spread any farther. And they're already making step after step after step to try to stop that God wants us to do in this generation. Now watch this. Let it spread no further. Watch this. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. I'll tell you, we ought to examine ourselves this morning. We ought to examine ourselves. If they threatened us, would we shut up or would we stand up? Would we be broken or would we be bold like the disciples are right here? Would we do what is right in the eyes of man, or would we do what is right in the eyes of God? I'm going to tell you something this morning. If our Lord Jesus doesn't come, these decisions will have to be made in this country that we live in, the United States of America. I want to turn this around because that's what God wants to do. He wants to turn our country around. Instead of preaching on this right here where the Bible says that it spread no further among the people, I want to turn it around, and here's what I want to preach on today. At least this morning and tonight, I'll guarantee you. Maybe Wednesday night too, I don't know. But I want to preach on this subject, spread it a little farther. Spread it a little farther. Spread it a little farther. Let's pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus now, Lord, that you'd give us, Lord, boldness this morning, Lord, to say what needs to be said. And Lord, give us leadership of the Holy Spirit to leave off anything, our Father, that does not need to be said. Lead us, Lord. Guard our lips. Help us, Father, to realize, our Lord, there's hope at the cross. There's help at the cross. Lord, this man, Jesus, Lord, the one the builder set at naught. Lord, he's the chief cornerstone. He's the head of the corner. He's the head of the church. God, I pray today, Lord, that you would help us today to honor you in this message. In Jesus' precious name, I do pray. Amen and amen. I want you to think about something this morning. This may not be a real good illustration, but it's just something that I thought of as I was preparing to preach. Is there anybody in here besides me that likes peanut butter? Let me ask you something right now. When you get ready to make a peanut butter sandwich, if that's a loaf, if that's a slice of bread right there, how many of you all, like me, you like to make sure you get it all the way out here? Ain't that right? How many of you, like me, you want to make sure it's thick and you want to make sure it's even? Now, I found out years ago that if you try to put the jelly or the apple butter or the strawberry jam that ain't got no strawberries in it, that was for one man, amen. And he's the one who told me that. I'd have never known it, amen. But if you try, you don't put that on the peanut butter, put that on the other side. Ain't that right? Because, you know, some people don't like strawberry, and if you put it on the peanut butter, it ends up back in the peanut butter, amen, and all that. So anyway, how many believes you just want to get it all the way out? Ain't that right? Now listen to me. You know what I believe God wants us to do with the gospel? Get it all the way out. Spread it around. Say amen. And you say, preacher, what do you mean spread it a little further? What were they spreading? They were spreading the gospel in that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You can ask the average person in Bloomingdale, what is the gospel? And they wouldn't even be able to answer you. I'm telling you that there's a gospel that needs to be spread around. I'm telling you, listen, that according to the Word of God, when somebody makes up their mind to get the gospel out, let me just give you this. First of all, this morning, some are grieved. Everybody's not going to be happy about it. Some are grieved. You say, preacher, where did you find that? The Bible said in verse 2, they are being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. In verse 11, the stone was rejected. In verse 17, look at it here, the Savior is rejected. The Bible said that it spread no further, that it straightway threatened them that they speak henceforth to no man the name of Jesus. They commanded them in verse 18 not to speak at all nor to teach in the name of Jesus. They wanted to shut them up and shut them down. They were grieved in their heart. Let me tell you something right now. Number one, they were losing their grip on that society. They were losing that influence. That's why they hated Jesus when He stood up and He preached and He taught. The Bible said He spoke to them as one having authority. Let me just say this morning. If what you're saying comes from the Word of God, it is the final authority. Amen. It doesn't have to be, my friend, mealy mouth. We can speak the Word of God with boldness. Amen. Let me give you this morning. Some are grieved. The stone was rejected. Look at verse 27. The Savior is rejected. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and to the people of Israel were gathered together. This same Jesus, Herod, Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel rejected that Jesus. Let me say this to you this morning. I believe with all my heart, God is calling on a generation today that's willing, like the early church, to stand up for Jesus. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me just give you a couple things. Some are grieved. Listen, we're living in a generation where everybody wants to go along to get along. But when God's people do what's right, somebody's going to be grieved about it. Somebody's going to be angry about it. Somebody's going to threaten us before it's over with about it. Amen? My wife said last week, I told her what I did, and she said, well, honey, you realize you probably just got on the list. This is what I told my wife. I said, what I realize, honey, is there probably needs to be some more on the list. Chevrolet came out with a commercial. One of the scenes in the commercial has got same-sex marriage being promoted, a man and a man. You say, preacher, what are you going to do? I've already done it. It's too late. I sent him an email. I copied it so I wouldn't have to guess at what I said. My memory's not real good. Amen? So I just copied. I sent Chevrolet an email, and I said, I want you to know that I've been driving Chevys for 35 years. My first truck was a Chevy, 77 Chevy half-ton. Currently own a 2001 2500 HD Duramax with over 250,000 miles and going strong. I'm thoroughly appalled and disgusted that Chevy has jumped on the bandwagon in a recent commercial condoning same-sex marriage. The Bible calls it sodomy. I've done sin it. It's too late now. It's about time that companies like yours figure out that there is more involved than being politically correct. Our nation is in trouble. If this is going to remain your position, then I will be driving something other than a Chevy in the future. Thanks for your time. The ball is in your court. I will wait and see how you bounce it. You say, preacher, you're going to get yourself in trouble. I stay that way. Anybody that preaches the truth will stay in trouble. I'm telling you, my friend, listen, it's about time in this country that God's people stood up for what's right. Stood up for what's right. Now listen, we're all on board right there. But how many remembers when there was a day when God's people wouldn't go nowhere and eat where there was liquor being served? Now, I'm guilty. Is anybody else guilty? You're going to leave me standing here by myself. You say, preacher, what's in your heart and what's in your mind? Here's what's in my heart and what's in my mind. I don't believe it's too late to turn it around. I believe we ought to be looking in this town for somewhere that we can eat where that junk ain't being served. Amen. I believe we ought to, my friend, go back to that time, hallelujah, where God is number one and we wouldn't violate the conscience of the Holy Ghost that He's given us. You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. It got to where we just got in a position where we said, it's everywhere. Listen, what if we just stopped this morning and said, is there a grocery store in Kingsport that don't serve beer and wine? What if pastors all over Kingsport this morning would stand up and say, if there is one, let's support it. If we have to pay 30 cents more for a loaf of bread, we'll come out in the long run. But I tell you something, I don't even know if there is one. And that's my fault. There ain't one. That's what Brother Wayne's telling me, that you can't find one. But you want to know, you know what? What I just said about Chevy? Some's already taken that to heart. And some is just sitting there saying, well, it won't be long for it'll be on the same train. Amen. And Nissan and Toyota and what's the other one? Chrysler, Dodge, they'll all be on the same train. I'm going to tell you something right now. They will if somebody don't stand up. You know what I believe? I believe Chevy may change their mind. I already know of several people, and there ought to be some people in this congregation get on the list. Amen. Send them an email. You don't have to be unkind, but let them know there's a God in heaven. Let them know our country's in trouble, and that we want to stand for what's right. Amen. Can't you just see Peter and John? Can't you just see them in the early church? Somebody coming along and wanting to make that an alternate lifestyle and make it something that's acceptable. Amen. I'm going to tell you, adultery's never been acceptable and it never will be. Sodomy's never been acceptable and never will be. Drunkenness has never been acceptable and it never will be. It never will be. I'll just tell you this morning, it's in my heart. Some are grieved. Spread it a little further. Spread it a little further. You know who they say the waitresses dread to see coming? Church folks. Yeah, I'll say to Bible Way Baptist Church, you go to a restaurant, you'd be the kindest Christian that ever walked through the door. Amen. I've said it for years. I believe in leaving gospel tracts, but don't leave a gospel tract without a tip. Say amen. I mean, that's a bad testimony. Amen. I'm just saying, I believe that God wants us to wake up in our generation. You say, preacher, what about the rest of the churches? I can't do nothing about that, but by the grace of God, I can lead this one to do what's right in the sight of God. God wants us to do what's right in the sight of God. I got to thinking about that email. You never know. Chevrolet might be hooked up with the IRS. They might be just forwarding it right on over there. You say, preacher, you're in trouble. I'm telling you right now, our country's in trouble. There's so much crookedness, amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. If you stand for what's right, you're labeled. You ain't got no sense. You're ignorant, just like Peter and John was. But I'm telling you what, right now, don't call my Lord ignorant. Don't call my Bible ignorant. Don't call people that are full of the Holy Ghost ignorant, because they've been with Jesus. And God will bless them. Amen. I believe that. Friend of mine, spread it a little further. Some are grieved. How many agrees with that? Look at verse number 4. The Bible said they laid hands on them in verse 3 and they put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit. I guess that word means something like that in spite of all that. Many of them which heard the word believed. How many believes that, you know, Peter and John, they've just spent the night in jail? I believe a word got out, Brother Gale. Some of them's mad. Hey, but you wouldn't believe the sinners out there that's glad. Glad that we told them about Jesus. Glad that the Savior wrote their name in the book of life. Amen. Glad that their sins have been forgiven. Glad that they've been added to the church of the living God. Glad that no longer are they guilty before God, but they've been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Bible said some believed. You say, preacher, we're never going to reach everybody in this city. I'd say amen. You say, preacher, how about some authority from the Bible for that? Broad's the way that leads to destruction. Many there are that they go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. How many? Few. But here's where we need to get to, church. Our Saturday night, our Saturday morning visitation, and then our gospel tracts, giving them out through the week and going over at the jail. You're never going to win that whole jail, Brother Wayne, but one or two, a few. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what's the truth. I've left prisons that had 3,000 men locked up in it. Didn't see but about 10 or 15 saved by the grace of God. My tires didn't even touch the interstate coming home. I concentrated on what God had done. Just saving a few. Just saving a few from the region of the damned. They're in the old cowboy movies. Can't even hardly see one anymore. Amen. But hey, every once in a while, a man would get in trouble with quicksand. I'm going to tell you something right now. That fellow, Brother Mike, that had that branch, that fellow that had that horse and that rope, he was a hero. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Here's my question. How many saved? You've got the branch. How many saved? You've got the rope. How many saved? You've got the lifeline. Are you going to let that guy sink, amen, in that quicksand of sin? Or are you going to help him out? Tell him about a Savior. pull him out. Amen. Years ago, Wise County, Virginia, knocking on doors, just door to door. Brother Herman Anderson, how many remembers Brother Herman? Precious man of God. Brother Herman was pastoring at Victory, and I had him come up and preach revival. We went out knocking on doors in the afternoon, and three teenagers got saved under a gazebo. Three teenagers sat right down there in the backyard and heard the story of Jesus. How many knows that Brother Herman got dementia later in his life? But honest, every time I saw him, he'd say, "Preacher, I'll never forget them three teenagers under that gazebo." God would let him remember it. It was precious. Three teenagers said yes to Jesus. Two were brother and sisters, and another one was a neighbor. They said yes to Jesus. Got down there on their knees at that bench under that gazebo. You say, "You believe God can save, son?" I've seen God save them everywhere. Amen. God can save a person anywhere. That person will bow their heart and their will to Him. Amen. God can do that. I was knocking on doors, and I wanted to get these teens to come to church, and I thought they was just putting me off. What they were doing was trying to cover up for their mother. And they finally just told me, "Mom won't let us come, preacher." Oh, boy. You know, I wasn't really discouraged by that, Brother Ron. I just thought, time to go to work on Mom. I mean, that's what I thought, amen. So I knocked on that door. That mom answered the door. And what she said was hurtful. But I have a little bit better understanding than I did now. That was my first church, my first ministry. Still green, so to speak. But she answered that door and she said, "You know, I just wish you'd mind your own business and leave us alone." And she said it in such a way that I knew she meant it. Amen. And I just turned and I said, "I'll do that, ma'am." And I said, "You have a good day." And I turned to step down off the steps and she was closing the door. And I said, "Ma'am, wait a minute. And she said, "What?" I said, "I just want to ask you one question before I go and mind my own business." I said, "If I drove down Pole Bridge Road," I can remember where it was at on the right, Pole Bridge Road. I said, "If I drove down Pole Bridge Road and I looked over here and this mobile home was on fire, I said, would you want me to stop and beat on the door?" I said, "Ma'am, you've got some precious youngins. I've met them and I love them." I said, "Would you want me to stop and beat on the door and see if anybody's in there and see if there was anything I could do to help? Would you want me to do that, or would you want me to just go on down Pole Bridge Road and mind my own business?" She said, "I'd appreciate it if you'd stop." I said, "Ma'am, the reason I stopped today," I said, "you're headed for a fire that's worse than a mobile home being on fire. It's hellfire." And I said, "Ma'am, the Lord don't want you to go there. But I will mind my own business. You have a good day." I don't know if that woman ever got saved or not, but how'd you like to lay down with that every night? Somebody say amen. Amen. I tell you, when the lights go out and it gets quiet, I believe the Holy Ghost does His best work. Amen. I'm telling you right now, some aren't going to receive it. Some are going to be grieved. But thank God Almighty, some, Brother Lance, will believe the Word of God. And that makes it worth it all. We're fixing to be introduced to a missionary next Sunday night that's going into a country where only 1% of 20 million people claim to be Christians. Now, you understand when 1% claims to be Christian, there's a lot of tags on that don't know Jesus. You say, "Preacher, that man will be so discouraged." I don't believe so. I believe he'll see one, and then he'll see another one. And who knows, God might let him preach one day and 5,000 of them come all at one time. It don't matter. We got to keep our eyes, amen. Some will believe. Some are grieved. There'll be an enemy when he gets there. there'll be an enemy. Amen. I saw this on an email that I got yesterday where some are celebrating as a holiday the day that the planes flew into the towers. Wake up, people. Wake up. Amen. You said, preacher, oh, that's a peaceful religion. You tell those families that how peaceful it is. Amen. We better wake up. We better wake up. When we stand up for what's right and we do what's right, some are going to be grieved. But I'm not going to concentrate on that. I'm going to concentrate on them some that will believe. Thank God. My pastor, I found out the other day, I thought he ought to be slowing down. Now he's taking up evangelism. Still out there on the road preaching this old story. Amen. I don't know how old Brother Bud is now, but I found out the other day at the funeral home. He's not pastoring anymore, but he's taking up evangelism. I say, God, let us shout her out until we can't shout no more. Amen. And tell the old story of Jesus and His glory. Spread it a little farther. Spread it a little farther. What are we going to do Saturday morning, church? We're going to spread a little farther. He said, well, what are you going to do if you go back and see somebody you've already seen? We're going to spread it a little thicker. Hallelujah. Amen. Spread it a little thicker. Spread it a little farther. The enemy don't want that, and we know that, don't we? But I thank my God that God's put it in our hearts here to do what we can, to reach who we can with the greatest news that this world's ever heard. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. I want to stop and say something, lest anybody misunderstand me. You say, preacher, what you said to the people there at Chevrolet, what they're trying to do is normalize what God called an abomination. Now, let me stop and say something. God can save somebody out of that, but they will no longer be that. God can save a sodomite. If it wasn't for Corinthians, I wouldn't know that. The Bible did say there are times when they're turned over to a reprobate mind to do that which is unseemly. But Paul said, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God can save a drunkard, but He's no longer a drunkard. Say amen. I'm telling you, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. But that's not what this is about. That's about normalizing and causing us to accept what God said is unacceptable. Can you look back in the last 30, 40 years in the history of our country and see that we're accepting again and again and again and again what God said is unacceptable? What God said is sin. You say, preacher, we love you, but if you get in trouble, you're on your own. Then quit lying to yourself and telling me that you love me. If you love me, you'll come see me. If you love me and they back me up a wall, you'll pray for me while I go to heaven. Amen. We need Jesus. I don't like conflict. I hate it. But how can we do what's right, stand for what's right? Brother Larry, and not know that conflict will come. By the way, I believe the church in America, I'm talking about the true church in America, is fixing to meet some conflict. They're already conferring among themselves. Say amen. They're already trying to line it up step by step by step by step. And I say, God, help us as preachers if we stand in pulpits across this country and don't expose what's trying to be done right in our face. Right in our face. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to preach the Bible. Thank you for John. Thank you, Lord, for John and for Peter that were willing, Lord, to even go to jail if that's what it took. And Lord, we know that later on they're going to be beaten. Lord, it wasn't like getting whipped with a switch when Mama whipped us. God, they were beaten severely. Paul and Silas, Lord, they were beaten severely. Lord, I heard about a pastor the other day that was just crushed, run over as his people watched in Korea. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us today to realize, Lord, before this thing is all said and done, there may be a heavy price to pay. Lord, our church has many, many veterans in it. God, many of our veterans, Lord, of yesteryear and of today, have paid a heavy, heavy price. God, that we can have freedom. Lord, on the cross of Calvary, you paid the ultimate price so that we could be free from sin. God, today we don't take it for granted. We ask you, Lord, today to help us in this generation that we live just to determine by the grace of God to do right, to do right. Lord, I pray today that you would work in the hearts of whoever calls the shots at Chevrolet. Work in the hearts of those in our government, Lord, to understand that our greatest need is not economic. God, we have a spiritual need. We have a moral need to get back to the Word of God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, I know that everybody's not going to stand. But I do ask you, Lord, that, Lord, I'm willing to stand alone if I have to. God, work in hearts. Help us, our Father, to stand together. Lord, you said there a little bit later in that chapter that all them that were believed were of one heart. God, give us one heart, one mind. Help us to be in one accord. Father, I ask you today to change hearts. Lord, you said the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. Lord, I know the stage is being set for the second coming of the Lord, and I know the stage is being set for the Antichrist to come on the scene in this world. Lord, if someone today were to raise up and promise the world peace and prosperity, they'd vote them in a heartbeat. God, I pray today, Lord, that you'd help us to realize there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank you for the name of Jesus, our Savior.